If you love doing services but hate retailing, we have some juicy tips to help you. We're always asking you to submit your questions or your topics, and we've had so many ask about this one specific topic, which is retailing. And basically, the sentiment across the board is, I hate retailing. But whether you know that it's important or you're feeling that pressure to sell, we're going to talk about some tips to help you. Before we get into it, I'm Doreen, brand and content strategist and former esthetician.
And I'm Suzanne Sedesco, certified esthetician with over 30 years, former spa owner, and now an educator mentor to beauty pros.
All right, this is a juicy topic because I feel like this was me. I have said these words. I hate retailing. And we hear it a lot from our listeners. And Suzanne, you hear it from your students and just other people that you mentor. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about it today.
Yeah, that's something I try to bring in every time that any kind of teaching is to try to not to look at it as a sales aspect, right? So kind of dive into this to think about, well, maybe ask yourselves, why did you get into what you're doing? You want to help people, right? We know that. But there's more to it than just a service. We know that by educating and learning, like, why do you pick, for example, the products you do to do nails? Why don't you just grab anything you want? Don't you look at what the brand is, what it, you know, how efficient it is? Is it good for us? Is it environmentally, I guess, friendly in all of the services? So how can you flip this into, you know, that's one piece of it. You're not just grabbing anything to do a facial or any products. You're thinking about the why behind the products itself. Mm-hmm. And the end result is also, how can you better it for your client? It's not just come in for a service and they leave, and it's not going to help them for their home care or to maybe keep the polish on or to help with the cuticles or to help with the skin not get dry after a facial. You know, I can go on and on about all of the different, you know, avenues of the beauty industry. Mm-hmm. But I think that's one thing is to really look at, not look at it as sales. I mean, right. Everything's sales, if you want to really get into it, but it's really about educating.
Yeah.
And supporting. And I guess that's a big thing, is supporting your client.
And what I hear you saying, really, it's like changing the mindset, right? Instead of approaching it as I need to sell to my clients. And I think some people feel that pressure if they're working in a spa environment and it's, you know, they have quotas or they, you know, in the review, they're being pressured that they're not selling enough retail. Mm-hmm. I think the first step is to not actually look at it as selling something, but a continuation of the service that you are providing. So whether you're providing a facial or a pedicure or waxing, how do you complete that service for your client all the way through? Because the majority of what the benefits they're going to receive is what they do at home, right? I think like 80% is home care and 20% is what you do in the treatment room. So how are you supporting their 80%? Mm-hmm. And I think I feel this analogy is really helpful because, and I'm sure you can find a way to like apply it to aesthetics, but I always think, like, you know, for a hairstylist or whatever, like everybody washes their hair. So they use shampoo to some extent, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I think it's a little like, you know, everybody washes their face, but I think some people just use soap or water, whatever. But I think like your clients are using products. Mm-hmm. So it's not that they're
definitely
not using anything. So I think it's just about, you know, understanding that it's part of the care, part of the service.
Mm-hmm. Another way that I always try to approach it is you're starting off by solving a problem or a situation of, I don't know, dry cuticles or, you know, bumpy skin or, you know, they're not happy with the glow or, you know, they're having problems keeping their lashes on, you know, like it could be so many factors. So if you think about what it is, like, for example, in skincare, I always start off with, you know, well, what am I noticing with your skin today? But I ask the client, what do you notice about your skin? Mm-hmm. And I take that in consideration. And then I'm looking to see, okay, does that line up with what I'm seeing and feeling too? Right? So that's that first step. And then you're looking at that recommendation to help improve that situation. So if you just break it down a little bit and look, so many people have told me, especially new people coming in the industry, they love the industry, they want to start out. And most of the time their assignment is, have you had this service done before? If not, you need to go and have one done, and then you can do your assignment. And they do a little project report on it, and they talk about from beginning to end. And I always bring that part of it in. Did they talk to you about home care, rebooking? How was the room? Like that type of thing, right? But really about that. And they're like, yeah, no, I actually, you know, I go in for a facial and they don't say anything. Mm-hmm. They just start cleansing and they do their thing and they're done and there you go. You're all finished now. And then they're like, oh, my skin feels so good. I love it. And then they leave and it's like, they're not doing anything to support what it was. And I think that's why it's such a shame that we're missing that point of it. And that's part of building rapport with clients and building that trust with them. So especially with the noise on social media of everything out there, you might actually help your clients make good choices instead of them just being pressure sold, or they quickly buy online because they saw an ad or a really cool video. You know, so if you think about helping them that way and just start off really basic, if you're not used to that language of having a conversation with your clients, then you just have to start with one thing and go from there, right? Like this step, if you include this step into your regime, you're going to notice this, this, and this. And if you can't answer that question as a professional, then I think you need to do your homework and start looking at your products, looking at what are some support things that I can have in place. Because I think that's why most professionals are not retailing, is they're not confident in what they are actually recommending for home care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think even before you that step of like, yeah, you if you use this, then that, it's just talking about what you're using in the service as you're doing it.
Right.
For example, I mean, facials are always like a really easy example, but if you're doing a pedicure, for example, like I pick this specific cream for your massage because it has, and then they have to know your ingredients and not only like what you're using, but why you're using it and how it benefits them. So that at the end of the treatment, you're not walking your client out and being like, oh, here, you need to use this cream, and you haven't said anything about it at any point in the, treatment, right? So yes. I think you have to like plant the seeds as you go along. And it starts from your consultation until the moment that you walk your client out. One of the things that I always try to do in the consultation is find out what they're using so I know that what they need. Because sometimes it's easier to fill a gap than it is to get your client to change. Like if I have my client has a full foot cream, maybe she doesn't need another one, but she can use an exfoliant. So it's just finding ways to complement what they have. And that doesn't happen by just, walking them out and throwing product at them. You have to build that trust and that communication throughout your service.
Yeah, absolutely. It always starts at the beginning. If you listen to what your client had to say, I mean, are they just getting a pedicure just for the polish sake at the end? Right. Then they would have just asked for a polish application, but they want the whole thing. So why do they want the whole thing? And you analyze their skin, their heels, the formation of their feet, what's happening to their feet? Like, is there any sore spots when you're massaging? Like all these types of things. The more you know about your client, it's like a roadmap to it, right? Like you're starting off at the beginning of your directions of the roadmap to the end. So you're going to have to take some turns left and right. And then all of a sudden you've got a Y-shaped road and you've got to go right. You're not sure where it's going to go, but you can always go back to the other side, right? So think of it as, instead of being salesy, you're actually just servicing your client. And that's why you're doing this. That's why you got into this industry, is that's part of the service of it. And I think we, like you said at the beginning, it's really a mind shift as well.
Yeah. You know, I think too, you mentioned like the noise on social media. Clients now take longer to buy because there's so much information and so much noise that there's actually more skepticism and more hesitation to purchase. So if they don't buy from you that appointment, they might come back again. So mm-hmm. instead of, you know, feeling hopeless that it didn't work, you can, when they come back for another treatment, again, do the same thing. Like, you might have to mention that foot cream three or four mm-hmm. pedicures, and then they might actually start to believe you. But it does take longer for clients to buy in because of that need for trust at the beginning.
Yeah, and there's so much of it.
It's practice, right? You have to keep practicing and practicing mm-hmm. and practicing, and then it becomes more natural and mm-hmm. your clients will be more receptive.
Another point on that is, okay, you've recommended this foot cream. We're going back to that one, but maybe they have other products and they don't want to purchase that foot cream. It's like, okay, I said, no problem. I said, just remember, like, you have your exfoliant at home, whatever, you're going back to what they told you they have. Help mm-hmm. them use their products as well. And say, you know, if you use your exfoliant, remember, you need to put the cream on that you have to help hold the moisture in, keep the skin soft and supple. And then when they come back to see you again, you can't forget that. You got to go back to it and say, how did that go? Did you get a chance to do those steps? Mm-hmm. And then you can say, well, I can see if you're doing it, the cream isn't enough for you. It could be a seasonal thing. Maybe that's what you have to talk to them about, right? Because in the summer, we're barefoot more. We're wearing flip-flops and you know, sandals and things like that. Or maybe they were going on a vacation and now they come back from all that beach and sand and that natural exfoliant that happens on the beach every day. They need to have something a little more richer or that type of idea. So it is like a big puzzle, a big roadmap, if you wish, to it all. But it's really just, it doesn't mean, like you said, that they're going to purchase it from you then. But you almost become that resource to your client with time. And then they'll start to ask you questions and say, hey, you know, I was thinking about that cream you mentioned before. So yeah, it's this one. Notice the difference. And that's sometimes you got to do is just put one on the back of their hand while you're doing their pedicure, and then they can kind of feel it, let it sit, and then compare it to the other side. Yeah. You know, sometimes it's the touch most of the time. It's they got to try it, right? And then see from there.
Mm-hmm. And I think that you mentioned something. Oh, I had a thought and I just lost it.
Oh, my God. Oh,
yeah. You following up like that, when you say, like, you know, follow up on the recommendation that you've made, that again just nurtures that relationship and that trust, and that just shows that you're not just in it to sell. Because really, none of us get into aesthetics because we want to do sales. Like, it's just, you would exactly. then go into like a sales career, right? So you go in because you want to care and you want to help people, and that you just have to see it as like a continuation of that help. And it has to be sincere, that you really do
authentic,
care.
Authentic, yeah. Yeah,
it's coming.
Keep your integrity, right? For sure. That's sometimes it gets blurred a little bit, especially if you are, I don't know, maybe you're working with someone and they have targets that you are getting pushed to do.
Yeah.
I think if you flip the mindset and just say, okay, I'm not pushing, I'm not going to upsell anything. All I'm trying to do is, because I heard it to you when I had my business, like, oh, you're just trying to make more money. I said, well, in the end, I guess, yes. Aren't we all trying to make money?
Yeah.
But it's really about, how do you make the treatment you've given them even more effective or last longer? Mm-hmm. And in all of our service, that's part of it. And then when they see that and you show them it works, that's huge. That's powerful. That rapport building and trust becomes more and more because you really know what you're saying. The beginning, it's hard if you don't have a lot of experience in it. You then have to trust the brand that you're carrying or the tools you have or whatever it is of what you've purchased to use or to sell to them for home care, that type of thing, so that you can then customize it to what they need and you might not know. It's like, for example, a lot of people getting in the industry are younger, we'll say, you know, under 30, for example, and the clients are over 50. And we haven't experienced the aging side of it. You don't know what it is. All you're going by is your knowledge and the support and information you have based on the treatments or the products that you have. So you'll never get to know it. You know what I mean? Like, physically yourself, But you can then see with your own clients. That's what I did when I was very young getting into it. I did have that. I think I've said it many times on this podcast. So what would you know about aging, Suzanne? It's like, yeah, I'm like 20 something years old. I said, well, you know what? I've had a few clients and one client, she's about 55 and she was doing this and this when I recommended it. And this is what she saw from it. I don't tell them the person's name, nothing like that, but I use references in my toolbox of what I can talk about. Or it could be someone else. It could be, you know, the other esthetician, she's like, you know, 50 years old and she is using this and this, and we really saw a difference in her skin. You know, or I went to a seminar and I was with amongst other people and we noticed in this situation that, you know, that foot scrub was a lot better than this one because, you know, smaller granules. It was a more finished, nice softness to the skin, not rough. Or, you know, like you've got to use other things around you when you don't have the experience yourself too.
Yeah. I think that leads me to just also mention like products where if you're using something, and this sometimes if you're working for somebody else, you don't have the actual ability to choose the products that you're using. But if you don't believe in the products that you're using, you're never going to be able to sell them. And if you don't experience the products that you're using, you're also not going to be able to sell them. And I think that goes regardless of skin type. Like we don't all, let's say for skincare, we don't all have the same skin type. I'm not going to be able to use something for somebody who has dry skin or whatever. But I can experience the brand and the product and I can talk about that. And once you believe in that, then you're better able to like transport that onto the other line, you know? Mm-hmm. It's done wonders for my skin and I know, you know, that has, so you knowing the ingredients or whatever also, but I think it's believing in what you're using and why you're using it as well.
Yeah. And that's why you need to know the brand and the backing of the brand and who are they? What do they represent? What is their research? What do they do with it? You know, what are their ingredients? Are they good, clean, top line ingredients? Because we all know there's different ones that they can take and use because it's much cheaper. There's a lot of things to it. And I think that's part of it. But like you said, you know, it's rethinking yourself, take a good look inward. And I mean, I have it and it's still to this day where, you know, people will say it's like, you know, I can't afford to buy these products right now. That's fair. That's true. And we understand that. I understand that. I couldn't afford all of the, you know, top notch kind of products before. And now I'm very selective. So I'm trying to, you know, use my own roadmap into my skin based on my age and everything going on. But it doesn't mean you have to have like 10 different products. You know, it can be very simple. More is not always better. And I think that's part of the issue is that people will say, well, sell a cleanser, for example. But they have a cleanser. In fact, they have two. Why are you offering that? Like you said, ask your clients.
Yeah, you got to fill the gap.
You got to find out what's going to help even take this treatment over the top, right? Mm-hmm. Like really help their goals or whatever it was that they were looking for. And sometimes people don't know how to begin talking, but you just, like you said, Doreen, you just got to start talking. Mm-hmm. And when you start talking, it becomes a lot easier to have conversations with people and quickly find out where's the gap or that product's really not working. Mm-hmm. The way you thought it was. Like, give it a chance. Don't throw it away. Right. But I've done that with clients. Okay. Keep using it. If it's going to do what it says it's going to do, then in the next 6 weeks, when I see you again, then this is what we should see. And sometimes, like I keep bringing up seasons, sometimes it's a seasonal thing. It's like, you know what? I don't think that's the right product right now. I think you got to hang on to that. And we're going to get into that in a few months from now, because I don't know, you're going to get more exposure to the sun or reversal. We're going into winter now. You need a heavier cream. Keep the light cream for spring and summer. You know, like you have to help guide them through it. And like you said, it comes with practice and it's going to be uncomfortable. Yeah. You get used to talking. When I'm teaching students from day one, it's like, Kate, just keep talking. It's like, you're not alone. It's very hard to do. You create the habit. You start asking the questions at the right times. Like you said, consultation, during the treatment, any service, you are planting a seed right away. You know deep down that if they got that cuticle oil, it's going to help with their hangnails. You know this. So why aren't you telling them this? And not all cuticle oils are the same, right? So, you know, you have to work with them on whatever that service is and break it down. Sometimes too, it's helpful to, if you're a one service operator, like maybe all you do is waxing, then it's easier for you. You should know your products. You have one service to focus on, right? If you are a nail technician, same thing, lash technician, same thing. But when you're an esthetician with everything, that begins to get tougher, and I completely can appreciate that. But then you need to put your hat on in the morning before you start your day and look at, who do I have today? What's the diversity of my services today? And you just think about, okay, I've got a pedicure, and then I got a waxing, and then I got this. Okay, we're in the winter now, so the dry skin, I'm going to check that on them. I'm going to, you know, like, you have to really think about what it is that you want to do, instead of right there in the moment, and they go, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you should do your little bit of homework and prep before you start, especially if you've had your client before. You should have some history on them, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think that I'll recap what we've talked about. If you hate retailing, you're not alone. But unfortunately, it really just starts with, I was going to say, unfortunately, you have to do it.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it. It's good for your client. But it really just starts with that shifting your mindset in looking at it as part of your service. You start talking about it from the consultation until the end. And if you don't know how to talk about it, I just simply, you know, talk about what I'm using and why. So what are you using, why you're using it, and what result it would show. Mm-hmm. And that helps you kind of get into the practice of talking about products in general. And then we also talked about finding ways to fill in gaps in their existing routine, or if, you know, it's a different service, like not skincare, it's, why are they there? Is it, do they have lots of, you know, do they have dry cuticles? Maybe they need that cuticle oil. So it's really just about having that conversation and rapport with your client to build that connection and trust. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just looking at it as a professional recommendation, not not selling.
Exactly. Keep it natural. Be honest, be authentic to yourself. And, you know, I've said it where it's like, you know what? I really don't like to use gel cleansers. It's just not me. I'm honest about it. I don't want all those steps. Sometimes I'm good, sometimes I'm not. But then I make sure that I'm doing this and this throughout my week. You know, like, if you know your client doesn't cleanse and they hate cleansing, they only use soap. I'm a soap girl. I go in the shower, soap it up, and I'm done. Why are you going to give them a three-step process to cleansing? It's never going to go. Right. Exactly. So that's an example of just trying to keep it limited, you know,
understanding your client.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Amazing. Well, we love getting questions and topic suggestions. So if you've got more for us, keep them coming. Thanks for listening to Beauty Babble.